Morning. We just had a ceremony here where we appreciate or try to appreciate the death that Jesus went through to save us. And we get reminded every first day of the week of that death he went through to save us. We study in our classes his ministry from the time he was approximately 30 to 33 and all the great teachings that he had there that serve as the basis for Christianity and our forgiveness of sins that we enjoy. Here a while back I gave a talk on Jesus' life from the age of accountability to the time that he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the fact that he lived a perfect life during that time as well, with all the same inclinations, temptations, enticements that we encounter, and he lived it perfectly. This is kind of a think piece to further appreciate Jesus. We just went through a holiday, whether we choose by our judgment to celebrate it or not. I was enticed to give this lesson by two people. One is I remember Ed Hoover getting up and saying no one was going to tell him when he could tell the story that was in the Bible, whether it be in December or February or September or whenever it was, that no one was going to tell him when it was appropriate or when it wasn't appropriate for that story, because God obviously meant for it to be appropriate. He put it in the Bible. And the other one, oddly enough, Grandma Lynette will have to tell, is Carson. Because Carson, some strange quirk of mental gymnastics prompted this lesson. We want to talk this morning about the amazing story of Jesus, not the story of Jesus who gave himself on the cross, not the story of Jesus in the ministry, not the story of Jesus and it from the age of accountability up, but the amazing story of Jesus the baby. We tend to avoid this, and I'm not going to avoid it, okay? The story of Jesus the baby, an amazing story. Now, I want to tell you what makes this story amazing from the perspective that we're going to come from is I'm going to name that a little bit different, because this time of the year you hear a lot of people talking about the baby Jesus. I want you to think about, as we go through, a phrase that we don't put together. And the phrase is, baby God. Baby God. And that brings a whole lot of different perspectives to my head about what's going on with Jesus. And hopefully when we get done today, you'll appreciate Jesus' efforts to save us even more than you did before. We're going to go to Luke and read the story here. This is an amazing story. Amazing, amazing story. In Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 26. Sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, saying, I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Chapter 2. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That is an amazing, amazing story. Amazing story. Colossians, first chapter, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or exist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Marry the two. Jesus, God the Son, who created everything that you see, everything that you interact with on a daily basis. He holds it all together. He keeps it from flying into billions of pieces. Keeps it from flying apart. That same Jesus who holds that all together became a baby. A baby. How far did Jesus go? God the Son, go to save us, even before His blood? How far did He go? I want us to think about baby God. Doesn't seem to go together, does it? I want us to think about baby God, baby Jesus, the same way we would think about other babies, because I think He was a fairly normal baby. Unusual birth, but normal baby. And Jesus had seen how many millions of babies born before He was born. So Jesus, God the Son, knew what baby God would be like. There are some things that babies have in common that Jesus knew that He was going to put Himself in that situation. And He knew that a lot of those things were completely opposite of anything He had known or experienced before. that are completely, some of them, out of character for God, period. And he was going to put himself in that situation in order to start the process to build himself into the perfect man who could give himself on the cross for us. But he knew going in, and I want to make sure we understand this. He knew going in what he was doing. He knew about Jesus the baby before Jesus the baby was born. Jesus was God. Jesus knew about that ahead of time. Jesus had seen millions of babies. He knew what he was going to be like. What he was going to be like. And just as a side, you think about that. This is a think piece. You think about that. Did Jesus choose his mother? Did Jesus choose his mother? I don't know. But he was certainly there when she was chosen. So, what I tried to do is just think about babies. Carson, try to think about babies. What do babies do? Babies sleep. That's what babies do most. They sleep. They're growing fast. They use up a lot of energy and they sleep. Well, we know God rested. It says God rested once after creation, but I don't think he went to sleep. In Psalms, it says sarcastically that who's God that he should sleep? Is he asleep? No, he isn't asleep. And God never slept before. God had never slept before. God, the baby, slept. Slept. I wonder what it was like for God the Father to watch God the Son sleep. You ever watch a baby sleep? Yeah. I wonder what it was like for God the Father to watch God the baby sleep. He brings all kinds of emotions when you watch a baby sleep. All kinds of emotions. I wonder if God the Father went through that as well. So babies sleep, and babies are, and this is scary, completely dependent. One of the problems that we have with new mothers is they go through this big hormone change after they deliver, and they're going through all that, but the bigger thing is they go home, you say, good luck, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And they go home and they suddenly realize that this being is totally dependent on me. On me. I literally have the power of life and death. Totally dependent on me. If the baby gets fed, it's going to be me that feeds it. The baby gets changed, it's going to be me that changes it. The baby needs rocked, it's me that changes it, that rocks it. It's only me. What can a baby do for itself? A young baby, very, very little. Very, very little. Baby is almost totally dependent. Now, we're talking about baby God. Baby God, totally dependent. Was Jesus different than any other baby? You think Jesus could get up and see he's hungry and just go get a bottle himself? No. He was a baby. What was it like for God the Son to contemplate 10 years before it happened, being totally dependent upon a human being? What was it like for God, any form, to contemplate being dependent in any way on anyone else? Much less totally dependent. Totally dependent. Maybe the reason he would have had something with choosing his own mother. I certainly would have if I'd been him. 1 Corinthians 8 chapter, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. How do you go from that to total dependency? We're sitting in heaven 10 years before Jesus is born, and he's contemplating, and he knows, he created this system. He's seen it work for millions of babies. He knows what he's putting himself into. He's going to go from God, totally independent, to God, totally dependent. From God who created the universe, to God who needs someone to feed him. Murray had to take care of Jesus just like any other normal baby. And Jesus was aware that he was going to be dependent. Dependent. What else about babies? Well, babies can be kind of oblivious. All right? They can be kind of oblivious to what's going on around them. The house could be falling down. They might not know it. Sometimes they know more than we think they know. I tell everybody, babies with a colic. I was always impressed with this. I still don't know how it works. We used to take care of babies with the colics, which are babies that just scream incessantly. You can't figure out what's going on with them. They just can't be satisfied, no matter who has them or what you do with them. We used to bring them in the hospital, and we used to put them in a crib and find out what they were being fed. And the instructions were very simple. Mom, Dad, go home. We don't want to see you for 3 days. Now, what was amazing was that baby would quit crying as soon as Mom hit the elevator. I don't know how that baby knew. It's always a mama who is very, very, really wants to be the best mom in the world. It's always the caring mamas. It's not the ones that don't care. They're so overprotective, over that the baby can't breathe, and so we send them home. And we break the cycle. But that baby could tell when Mom hit the elevator, they quit screaming. Just like you flipped a switch. And they'd be normal babies. I've had a 6-month-old baby boy scream bloody murder when I was giving his mother a treatment on her back. That protective. So maybe they aren't as oblivious as we think they are. But in general, they're oblivious to the things that are going on in the world. Not really concerned about it. Not really caring whether there's been a terrorist act in Iraq, or the economy is going south, or China's cheating and stealing seed corn. They really don't care. They are oblivious. Now again, I want you to think about God the baby. Oblivious. God who knows everything. Jesus who knows everything today, right? Except for one thing. The only thing that Jesus doesn't know is when the end is coming, when the day of judgment is. Jesus, who knows it all today, knew going in that he was going to be oblivious. 1 John says God knows all things, but not when he was a baby, he didn't. And he was willingly oblivious. Kind of makes you wonder how we survived, doesn't it? Because we've all been babies at some time. Some of us have never got over it, but we've all been babies at some time. You ever wonder how a baby thinks? How does a baby think? You think in language. You put ideas together with words. How does a baby think if they do think? They think in pictures, or smells, or tastes, and they associate those. But just think of all the stimuli that's new that's coming into a baby. Just think of how you and I, if we stop and look, see all the colors and all the sounds we hear and all the tastes that we taste. All the things we feel. What if every one of those was new? Was new. can be overwhelming. I don't know how we survive it. We sort it through, we survive it. We ignore it, learn to ignore part of it. We learn to pay attention to part of it. But it's huge amounts of continuing stimulus that comes into us. God ever seen anything new? Has God ever seen anything new? Nah. Never seen anything new, but God the baby did. He was exposed to new stimuli just like us. Do you think Jesus' eyes got big when he heard some new sound? You know how a baby, when they hear some new sound, their eyes get big and you can hear them searching with their ears of where that came from? You see them searching. Think Jesus did that? Yeah, Jesus did that. Jesus, who created all sound, got big-eyed when he heard sound. And he knew it was going to be like this 10 years before he was born, 20 years before he was born, 1,000 years before he was born. He knew he was going to put himself, baby God, in this situation. There's nothing new to him now. Nothing new. He's been tempted, exposed to all things like as we are, without sin. But it was all new. All right, let's keep going here. What else about babies? Babies are confined. Babies are confined. You don't take a baby to the mall and lay it out in the middle of the mall and go shopping. The babies are confined. How much does a baby move? Not a lot. Moves in place a lot, but doesn't really get anywhere. Sometimes, like us, as we get older, we move in place a lot, but we don't get anywhere. Babies are like that all the time. Jesus knew he would be confined. The same God, the Son, who could walk on water, who could walk through walls, was confined. The same God who wasn't limited by anything spatial when he was with God the Father in heaven was confined to a cockeyed manger. How do you hold God in a manger? Well, he did. He did. What a difficult situation to put yourself into. I was thinking about this. I've seen lots of diseases I wouldn't want to have, but there's one that, would, as far as I'm concerned, is the epitome, and that's ALS. You know it as Lou Gehrig's disease. I've taken care of two people with Lou Gehrig's disease. I never, ever want to see it again, because this is a person who is as aware of as you or I. They feel and think emotionally, react to things the same way you and I do. But they're trapped in a body that just quits. It just quits. It won't move. It won't breathe. It won't do anything. You're trapped inside your own body. It's just a miserable existence. There's very few diseases that actually scare me. That one scares me. Okay? That one scares me. I cannot imagine that. I don't even want to try very often. Confined. I wonder how Jesus felt confined in a manger. On purpose. On purpose. He did it on purpose. He knew it was going to happen. Couple, three more here. Babies, if they're anything, are vulnerable. Is there anything more vulnerable than a baby? How easy it would be to hurt a baby, even not trying. I mean, people have actually, in a moment of stress, have shaken a baby and actually killed the baby. Not as easy to do as you might have thought several years ago, but it still can happen. How vulnerable is a baby? What protective mechanisms do they have? Especially a human baby. You know, some animal babies have some protective mechanisms. But a human baby, what is it? Scream. That's basically it. It doesn't really do a lot unless it scares you because of scream. I don't know if that's a protective mechanism or not. But they are vulnerable to anything. Anything. And Jesus' baby knew ahead of time that he was putting himself in a situation where, with all the vulnerability associated with being a baby, the government was going to be trying to kill him. He knew that ahead of time. That he was going to make himself a baby, baby God, was going to make himself a baby, and that he would be vulnerable, and the government itself was going to be after him to kill him. I don't know if I'd put myself in that situation. Whole lot different than Jesus looking at Pilate and saying, you wouldn't have any power at all if it hadn't been given you from above. That's not a vulnerable person. No power at all if I hadn't been given another. If I wanted to, I could bring down legions of angels and this would be over. That's not vulnerable. But Jesus made himself vulnerable so he could live a life and save us. Maybe he had some protection. I don't know. You know, the devil knows the scripture pretty well. And during the temptations, he said, "If you stub your toe, he'll pick you up." Jesus didn't argue with that. He just said, "Don't tempt God." So, no doubt, God provided him some protection, but he was still pretty vulnerable. He's still a baby. When Jesus told Pilate he didn't have any power, he was absolutely right, because when Jesus gave his life, he gave it. They didn't take it. They couldn't even keep him dead. But God, the baby, was vulnerable. God experienced vulnerability. He put himself in that circumstance for us, where he was vulnerable. Well, most of those are circumstances. What about character issues? What about character issues? Well, think about a baby. Even some of our older babies that we got here today. They're pretty selfish. They're pretty selfish. And if Junior gets hungry, Junior really doesn't care if you haven't eaten in a week. He wants to eat now. Now. Right now. Babies are inherently selfish. Baby is the ultimate selfish individual. And Jesus knew he would be that way too. The same man who later would preach to his disciples about the need to be servant of all, who would wash their feet, the same man knew that he would be ultimately selfish as a child. He would experience that. Totally alien to his nature. But you need to go through that for us. Last one I have is a baby is in need of love. Babies need to be loved. There was a study done several years ago out of the orphanages in Russia. It's been several years ago now, about babies actually dying for lack of human caring and love. Babies need to be loved. Do you think Jesus the baby ever laid on Mary's chest and cooed? Enjoyed being patted and rubbed and held close? Think Jesus the baby needed to be loved? Sung to, stroked, all those things? God never needed to be loved. God still doesn't need to be loved. Doesn't need to. Wants it. Wants it, but doesn't need it. Doesn't need it. He wants us to love him, but he doesn't need it. Jesus, looking ahead 10 years before he was a baby, knew that he would have a need of love, a need that he had never experienced before, because his father was love. His father was love. He had never had any deficiency of love. His father was love. So as we look at Jesus, and you think about Jesus before he was born, Jesus, God, he knew all these things that he was going to put himself into as God, the baby. He knew about all those things. And a lot of those things were actually against his character. Things he would not have experienced without being a baby. He went through that and put himself in that situation. That's oblivious to the surroundings, yeah. Put himself in that situation, then lived up through all the temptations of childhood, teenage years, early manhood, without sin. Then was called to the ministry, was baptized, and became baptized with the Holy Spirit, and went into his 3 years of ministry and died for us. That whole thing he did, he knew what was going to happen ahead of time. He knew what he was exposing himself to ahead of time. And I don't know about you, but it means something to me. I don't think I am trusting enough to ever go back to be a baby. And I'm not God. He was going to experience things he could never have experienced any other way. How far did Jesus become ungodlike to begin his journey to save us? Quite a lot. Quite a lot. We as humans sometimes are asleep and oblivious to our surroundings as well. There's a huge amount of good and bad stimulus coming into us all the time. We are confined to this world and its perspective of existence, and also feeling vulnerable and sometimes under attack. We're selfish. But when we realize our total dependence on God, our need to experience His love, then we begin to leave the baby stage and find some real fulfillment, happiness, and hope. I just find this story, because of the differences in judgment, I find this story ignored. This is not a story to be ignored. This is a story to be celebrated in our lives. God went to extraordinary measures to save us. Not just on the cross. Not during Jesus, just during Jesus' life, but his actual birth. To make God a baby is unfathomable. It doesn't go together. Just say those words. Baby God. They don't go together. But they did. They did. Because he wanted to save you and I. We're off the invitation here this morning. Is anyone who's in need? Because that same baby grew up and did live a full life without sin and died on a cross for us, so that we could begin our lives as babies and grow up and experience life without sin because of his sacrifice. Have our sins forgiven, and live in eternity with him. We offer that invitation as we stand and sing.